Don't you love the old story and the old songs? Songs of Zion. They're wonderful. Bless my heart. Thank you, John. Thank you, Robin. Singing and playing. Lord ordained singers. That may be one of them. Exodus 3. I had a text, it would be verses 7 and 8. I read that again. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, large, a land flowing with milk and honey. The gospel is good news, wonderful news, glorious news for captives. Scripture says the gospel is a thing that will render us full of joy unspeakable, full of glory. The gospel is the salvation of God's people from sin. We sang that song. It says, be saved to sin no more. That struck me. He not only saved us from sins, the penalty, but he's saving us that we may never sin again. Saving us from sin, from the world, captivity. He does it all by Christ. This is the greatest story ever told. May this be to us this morning the greatest story we've ever heard. The story was written long ago, before the world began. The beginning of it, the end of it was written before time, before the world began. This story begins where it begins, in chapter 1. Go back to chapter 1. As the whole book begins, in the beginning, God. Well, Exodus, as you probably know, means going out, departure. Exodus. This is the story of God bringing His people out of Egypt. But the story within the story, the true story, is how God brings out His people out of this world, out of darkness into life, out of death to life. His people, His chosen people. It begins in chapter 1. Now these are the names. They're named. God's people. He has their name. The children of Israel, which came into Egypt, every man in his household came with Jacob. These are the sons of Jacob. Who does God love? Who does God bring out of this world? Sons of Jacob. He said, Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. Christ didn't come into this world to save everybody. He came to save His elect, His chosen, given to Him in a covenant before the foundation of the world. The sons of Jacob. Who's Jacob? He's an old sinner. He's nothing at all. But Jesus Christ was His all in all. The sons of Jacob, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah. What about these fellows? What kind of fellows were they? They all were a bunch of sinners. They betrayed their brother. Look down at verse 5. It says, all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob. They were all sons of Jacob. 70 souls. And it mentions Joseph. It said Joseph was already in Egypt. Oh, if I'm not careful, I'll get stuck right here. Joseph, it mentioned. It says that Joseph died. And they all died with him. That's Christ, isn't it? Is Christ all the scriptures? Oh, my. He's Joseph. We're in Him, crucified with Christ. And it says, in all that generation, all of them, every one of them, in this story, is coming out. God came down. He said, I've come down to bring them out. Who? These sorry sons of Jacob. Joseph, their elder brother. whom they despised and rejected. I'm going to bring them on in. That generation. You know how the whole New Testament begins? The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. And it names all those names. It's the Lamb's Book of Life is what it is. The gospel of our salvation in Christ. All right? They're in Egypt. All of them. They're all in Egypt. Verse 7. Fruitful. Began to multiply. They all were in Egypt according to the purpose of God, the will of God. And they were prosperous. They lived in the best of the land, didn't they? They lived in the land of Goshen. Southerners used to exclaim when something was wonderful. Well, lands of Goshen, you know. Can it get any better than this? Lands of Goshen. Well, that may have been what old Jacob said when he came there. And Joseph gave him the best of the land. You know, the Lord giveth us all things richly to enjoy. Richly to enjoy. Ecclesiastes is all about this. He's given us everything. He's made everything beautiful in its time. And he says, is it time to get? It's time to live. But he's given us all things richly to enjoy. But he's going to take it all away. Israel lived in Egypt. And you know what they did? They did what we do. They forgot God. They forgot God. So, God in great mercy, God in great grace, starts making them miserable. He's got to make them miserable. And he sends hard taskmasters. Look at verse 14. These Egyptians made their lives bitter with hard bondage. Now they're bitter. They're in bondage. Mortar and brick. Labor. Suffering. Sorrow. Service. 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 With rigor. Hard labor and bondage. And then they die. Who did this? The Egyptians. God did this. God did. These are his children, okay? He's got to make them see. You're not in the promised land. You're in a pit. A slime pit. A dung heap. This present evil world. He's got to make them see. This is not your land. These are not your people. This is not your continuing city. These are not your gods. They're not your gods. They're not your people. Call on me. Call on me, and I'll deliver you. They had to start calling. They had to start crying. Now, you won't call on him who you do not believe. You don't believe in him who you've not heard. You won't hear without a preacher. And I'm here to tell you, call on the Lord. I can't make you call, but I tell you who does. The Lord does. And how he does this is, he makes us mourn over sin. He makes us grieve over sin. He makes us miserable. He makes us see what we are and where we are and what's in us. Where we are and what's in us. Pit. And makes us cry. Well, chapter 2 begins with a woman bearing a child. A son. Who is he? Who is this child born, this son given? He's the deliverer. He's the one God sent. What? To bring him out. Look at verse 2. A woman conceived and bare a son. She says, he's a goodly child. Who is this talking about? Moses? Oh, no. Moses wrote of me, Christ says. Oh, God sent forth his son, born of a virgin. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child, a goodly child. And she hid him 3 months. He's hidden. Our Lord was hidden 30 years. When she could hide him no longer, verse 3, she took for him an ark of all things. She put this son in an ark and daubed it with slime and with pitch. Put this son in an ark and covered it with pitch. And cast it in the river. Who is this child? Moses, the deliverer? No, a greater than Moses. Moses said, a greater than me, the Lord will raise up that prophet, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our deliverer, our Savior. He's that ark, isn't he? Pitch covered in his own blood. Verse 4, his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done unto him. Miriam. Miriam, that's the Old Testament name for Mary. Bitter. Miriam said, what's going to happen? Amram and Jochebed, his parents, said, what's going to happen to our son? Great things. So Miriam cast this child and saw this. Cast this child in the ark covered with pitch out onto the face of the water. Didn't our Lord say, cast your bread on the face of the water. You'll see it after many days. Who wrote this book? But Miriam said, what's going to happen? She saw this child in the ark covered with pitch. What's going to happen, Miriam? You just wait and see. He's going to bring his people out. Mary, the Lord's earthly mother, stood at the foot of the cross, saw her son covered in his own blood. What's going to happen? Oh, he's going to bring his people out. He opened the ark and the child saw the child. Behold, the babe wept. This is Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 5. Pharaoh's daughter came down to wash herself at the river. She saw the ark and pulled it out of the ark. Saw the child. Behold, the babe wept. Now, what she saw was God's salvation. You remember Miriam? What's his name in the New Testament? I've already forgotten. Simeon in the temple. Simeon in the temple. Mary brought that child in. Simeon ran over and laid hold of that child. I've seen thy salvation. I can depart now. I can go out. I can leave this place. God's salvation. But you're talking about sovereignty. Here's sovereignty. God sent this deliverer. Put him in an ark covered with pitch. Cast him on the water. All a picture of Christ. And what he's going to do is have his enemy raise him up. He's going to have the enemy. Pharaoh. You remember, after this, well, before this, tried to kill all the people and then heard of the deliverer and sought to kill him. Okay? The one who sought to kill him raised him up. Pharaoh raised him in his own house. Now, isn't that sovereignty? Pharaoh said, I'm going to kill the deliverer. God said, no, you're going to raise him up. Didn't Christ say, no man taketh my life from me? I lay it down myself. And Satan thought he killed our Lord, didn't he? No, he put him on a cross, but it was God that raised him up. That's sovereignty. God, they did what God determined for to be done. So this Pharaoh's daughter raised him in Pharaoh's house, and he became great. He became great. Look at verse 23. Now go down to verse 23. Well, it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel. And God had respect unto them. That's who he loved. That's whom he came to save. That's who he sent his deliverer for, Moses. Where was Moses at this time? Where was he? They started crying unto God. Help us. Save us. Deliver us. We're in bondage. Oh, they cried by reason of their bondage. And God heard their groanings. And God remembered his covenant. Said, I've made a promise. I made a covenant to my people. to bring them out. And God looked upon them. How did He look upon them? He said, a deliverer. That's how we know. God hears, God sees, God looks upon us in favor and grace. He said, where was Moses? Chapter 3. Where was Moses? Chapter 3, verse 1. Look at it. He kept the flock. What was Moses doing before he came out publicly to bring his people out? What was he doing? Keeping the flock. He's a shepherd. All this time he was keeping the sheep, waiting for time, in the fullness of time. Waiting. Like David. You remember David, the king of Israel, whom Christ is named for, the son of David? What was David doing before he was made king? Keeping the sheep. One time a bear and a lion came after one little lamb. You know, David never lost a sheep. Not one. Not even one little lamb. When two adversaries came and laid hold of it, David smote them. And he could say, not one is lost. I've kept them all. He's waiting. He's keeping the sheep. And God's kept all His people. Christ is the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Christ is the Lord our shepherd before the world began. He was sent and He has kept all of His people. He was sent for all of His people, from Abel, from Adam to Zerubbabel, to the end of time. He's been the Savior. So He kept the flock. And read on, verse 2. Angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire. He's going to call Moses out to go and deliver his people. Angel of the Lord. Did not the Holy Spirit of God come down in the form of a dove when Christ at His baptism? And say, this is He. Angel of the Lord came in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And Moses looked. Now here's Moses, the man. Here's us. Here's the sinner. Here's what we're going to see. Rather who? When He calls us by His grace. We're going to see a bush that burns and is not consumed. And we're going to stand on holy ground. What's that? Well, Christ is all, brethren. He's the burnt bush. He's Moses. He's the ark. He's the son. He's the child. He's the pitch. He's the bush. He's all. Burnt bush. What did Moses see? Not a white hood. Christ. The burnt offering for sin. Moses looked. Look unto me and be ye saved. The bush was burned. Christ made sin for us, but not consumed. God accepted His sacrifice on our behalf, and we're not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And if God calls you, he'll call you by the gospel of Christ and Him crucified. That's it. And that's what God called our Lord to be, to do, to be the burnt offering for His people. And He called Him to send us to this, to send Him to this earth, to us, to bring us out. And God said, put off your shoes, it's holy ground that you stand on. And moreover, He said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face. He was afraid to look upon God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And you'll not fear God until you see Christ on that cross for you. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, Christ is the wisdom and the power of God. We fear God by seeing Christ, our burnt offering, on that cross for us. That's where we ought to be, but that's where He was put. What will God do to sin? He's going to burn it up. He's going to burn this earth up. Why won't He burn us up? Christ was burned, so we will not be consumed. That's the fear of the Lord. That's where you'll see Him. That's where you'll worship. That's where you'll take your shoes off. Take your hat off. Take your clothes off. And worship Him naked. And now here's our text. Here's where we come to. See where it all began? It all speaks of Christ. It all leads to this. Where God said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. I have seen, God says, I see every sin against them. I see every sin that's committed against them. I see every sin they have committed. I see every enemy of them. I see the enemy in them. I see every sin. I see every sorrow. I see every trial, every affliction that they go through. I see every trouble they're going through. I see every trouble they have caused. How much trouble did Jacob cause others? How much trouble did he cause himself? How much trouble did he get into? How much trouble do we go through in this world? God says, I see it all. And it's not just watching. He's not a bystander. God's not a bystander. What he's saying here is, I see. I'm looking on you. I see you. I sent this. I'm going to see you through it. You're going to see that I did it, and I'm looking on you. With love and with mercy and with favor and with grace, by sending these afflictions, by making you miserable in Egypt, by sending these enemies. The world is not an enemy of the world, they're friends. They don't have a battle with the enemy, do they? He's a friend. They're serving him willingly. But God, are you with him? I'm looking on you in mercy and grace and favor and love, making you see, making you miserable, afflicting you, the affliction. David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. I loved the world, and then he afflicted me. That's what the gospel's got to do first, isn't it? He says, I kill, and I make alive. I wound. And I hear. What the gospel first does is make you miserable. And then he sends the balm of Gilead. And our Lord said, and I hear. I've heard their cry. By reason of their taskmasters. The passage in Isaiah says, before they cry, I'll hear them. Do you know? Listen to me. This is good news. Listen. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that good news? Not whosoever does this and who does that. Just call. What? Help. You got a whole world of people with blasphemous me on their lips. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. If only our God would take that from their blasphemous lips. These people draw nigh to me with their lips and their heart is far from me. If only whenever God takes that from their lips and puts it in their heart, broken over sin, miserable in this world, where they cry, oh my God, help me, save me. You know what he's promised? Save shall be saved. The greatest prayer ever prayed other than our Lord's, John 17, was by Simon Peter going under the water. The waves and the billows going over his head. He's gasping for breath. I'm going down. I'm going to die. He's uttered three words. Lord, save me. And our blessed Lord reached down deep and pulled him. He said, I'm come to bring you out, up in the ship. And there's peace. All he prayed was, Lord, you're my Lord. Save, salvation is of the Lord, me. Would you save the likes of me? He said, I will. I've heard. I hear them. I've heard you. I hear you. And how shall not God avenge His very elect that's crying to Him day and night? I tell you, He'll do it speedily. Brethren, it's about over. It's almost over. It's all over but the shouting. And we think that the waves are gone over us and we're going to be consumed, the world, we're going to perish in the wilderness. And we think that, oh, no, he's just about to take us out. Take us out. I've heard you. I hear you. I hear every cry. I see every tear. David said, every tear is in his bottle. Every cry, he's heard every one of them. A mother who has especially a newborn. Listen to me. Especially a weak, helpless, newborn babe. All it can do is cry. Isn't it? That's all it can do is cry and hunger and thirst. Doesn't the mother have more compassion on that child than the older ones? Oh, yeah. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they that cry. And that mother hears that little tender newborn. She hears every cry. How much did you sleep, sister, when you had that firstborn? How much did you sleep? Your husband's over there snoring big time. And you hear every beat, don't you? Every cry. I remember one time when Hannah was born, I woke up and said, boy, Hannah slept well last night, didn't she? No, I mean, she was up three times. Heard every cry. How much more? I hear them. I hear them. I'm going to bring them out. It gets better. And he said, I know their sorrows. It's not just, I know what you're going through. I understand. No. To know in the scriptures is to become one with. To know is to become united with. To know, it's the difference in just feeling some sympathy and feeling compassion. It's going through. It's going through what you've gone through. To actually feel it by reason of experience. But turn quickly, very quickly. To your favorite passage in the Bible. Hebrews 2. One of the many. Hebrews 2. Don't you love this? It says, Hebrews 2, verse 14. As much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same through death. This is the thing we fear the most. This is the thing we're all faced with. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. People we love, we wait. Waiting to die. It's sad existence, isn't it? I hear him. I hear him. He came. He came to live. And he came to die. To go through this, that through death, verse 14, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them. Through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Lord, help us. We can't see your kingdom. We can't see heaven. We can't see you. Help, help, help. They send help. Where? In the sanctuary. The gospel of Christ crucified. And he took not on the nature of angels, he took on the seed of Abraham, and in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. That's that burning book. And he himself was suffered, being tempted. He's able to succor them that are tempted. Oh, in chapter 4, we don't have a high priest that's not touched with the feet of our infirmity. In all points, like as we are, yet without sin. And we can come boldly and tell him, Lord, I'm hurting, I know. Lord, I can't do this, I know. He came weak. He lived by faith. Go back to our text. What a blessing. Isn't that a blessing? My. You know, it's not enough to feel or to even know. We need real help, Noah. We need help. We need somebody to lift us out of the miry clay. Set our feet on solid rock. We need someone to help us. Is there anyone? I wish this song was in our book. Is there anyone who can help us? One who understands our hearts when the thorns of life have pierced them till they bleed. One who sympathizes with us, who in wondrous love imparts just the very, very blessing that we need. Yes, there's one, only one, the blessed, blessed Lord Jesus, He's the one. When afflictions press the soul and waves of trouble roll, and you need someone to help you, there's only one. Listen, is there anyone can help us? One who can give us inner peace when his heart is burdened down with pain and woe? Who can speak the word of pardon that affords a sweet release, and whose blood can wash and make us white as snow? Yes, there's one, only one, the blessed, blessed Lord Jesus. He's the one. When afflictions press the soul and waves of trouble roll, when you need a friend to help you, He's the one. Keep listening. Is there anyone can help us when the end is drawing near, who will go through death's dark waters by our side? Who will light the way before us and dispel all doubts and fears? Who will bear our spirits safely for the tide? Yes, there's one. Sing it with me. Only one, the blessed, blessed Jesus, He's the one. When afflictions press the soul and waves of trouble roll, and you need someone to help you, He's the one. That's what He said. Next thing. I am come down. Verse 8. I am come down. God was manifest in the flesh. They said, who are you? To Christ. He said, I am. The same I said to you in the beginning. When Moses said, who shall I say has sent me? I am that I am. I am come down. Don't you love this? To deliver them out of that land. To deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. To bring them up. Out of that land into a good land, large, flowing with milk and honey. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ came down. The Lord sent Him down to this earth. What is man that He would visit us? But He came down. Infinite condescension. The Lord stooped down. The Lord came down to deliver His people out of captivity, bondage, sin, sorrow, darkness, and despair. You know, people talk about the first coming of our Lord and the second coming of our Lord. There are really several comings. The Lord, His Proverbs 8 says, His delights were with the sons of men, dwelling in the habitable parts of the earth, didn't it? Our Lord was the one walked in the garden to talk to the first two sinners who were in despair, afraid, about to be cast out into a hostile world. And He gave them peace by showing Him that lamb, showing Himself that lamb, that substitute. That was Jesus Christ. His delights were with the sons of men. It was Christ who came to Abraham. It was Christ who came to Moses. That's Christ speaking to Moses. It was Christ who came to Noah and gave him the blueprints for the ark. Yes, it was. When it says the Lord shut Noah in, you know who that was? That was Jesus Christ. First He was in the ark, come thou into the ark. And once they all came in, He went outside, and the whole world saw this man with superhuman strength shutting that door. Who is that? Dressed in white robes, shutting the door, shutting them in. And then they saw Him take a bucket full of pitch and pitch that door. And then until he was finally Himself covered all over with that pitch. Who is that? And then they saw Him, a cloud come and lift Him up the glory. That's the same one as in the beginning that came in the end. Yes, His delight. Well, Christ came in the fullness of time, born of a woman, made under the law. He came the first time. Why? Why? To redeem them. To bring us out. To bring us out of this world. To bring the world out of us. To cleanse us from our sin. To purge us from our sin. To pay for our sins. like that burnt bush, came down to bring us out, bring us up into a land flowing with milk and honey. All right, that's his first actual coming. But there's a time when he comes for you in the preaching of the gospel. Every one of his sheep hear his voice. That's him. He comes in the preaching of the gospel. If you're going to hear it from him, you're going to hear it through a man, but it's going to be him. And he comes and he speaks to you. And what he says to you, I'm come. Bring you out. Bring you out. And then there's going to come a time, if he doesn't come for all of us, there's going to come a time when he's going to call you individually out. Like Job said, he's going to call and I'm going to answer. And this is a call. You may dread, but not when it happens. No. You're going to answer. Here I am. Here am I. He's going to call you out. Maybe sooner, maybe later. He's got it written out. He's going to call you. It's time. It's time. I've come for you. Bring you out. Glory, hallelujah. You know what you're going to say? Glory, hallelujah. And you're going to be saying it for a million years. And there's coming a time, and our Lord's coming down to take us all out of here to a large... Can he fit all of us in? Oh, it's large. It's large, like his heart's. Oh, he said there's room. Didn't he say, I go to prepare a place for you? Oh, sure, there's not room for me. Oh, there's room. Well, you didn't come for me. What about you? I'm the worst. That's the only ones he came for. Sons of Jacob. I'll bring you out. A land flowing with milk. You like what you're sucking on this morning? Sincere milk of God's word? You just went. Honey. David said, your word was sweeter than honey in a honeycomb. You just want to chew and chew and chew on it. You just wait. We all get to glory. That song says, what a day that will be. What a day. Help us. Come get us. Is that your cry? Okay. Let's sing a closing hymn.